Grunge became a noun. It seemed a way to pigeonhole a bunch of bands.
Along the way, somebody decided to call it grunge.
What is grunge? Does it involve the flannel shirt?
Hey-o! Yeah! Welcome to The Grunge. We are a podcast exploring all that sex, drugs, and rock and roll has to offer. I'm Joseph Rose.
And I am Jeremy Jerry Wood.
Hello, Jerry.
Hello, Joseph. How are you today?
Fuck you, bro.
Fuck you, bro. You said you've gone on this fuck you, bro kick.
I like it.
Is it? I've never heard you say it before.
Fuck you, bro.
Fuck you, bro.
Yeah, I don't know.
Such a douchey, throw it in douchey thing to yell,
yeah,
bro.
Just throw it in.
Bro.
Just to be a wise ass.
You know? Go fuck your mother and fuck you, bro.
Yeah.
I never really saw you as a douche.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I guess that's good.
It is a good thing.
If I had the choice, I guess I'd rather not be one.
Nah, you're good.
Yeah. Okay.
Good night, everybody. We had
a
situation where a kid yelled douche in the middle of the dealership.
You did
recently.
Yeah, it was like
why?
10 or 11. I don't know. He just yelled it at his brother.
Oh.
And it was just right in the middle.
Kids fighting amongst themselves.
You douche.
Gotcha.
I was like, God, gotcha. He's so young. It was like, it reminded me of the story you told me about that kid telling you, look at those titties.
When that kid,
the way he said it, I was like, man, that is a young child yelling douche.
Right.
But that would be how that kid sounded, saying, look at those titties.
I mean, if anybody's going to be yelling douche in the middle of a fucking car dealership, I'd hope it's a young kid or something.
Yeah, because
like, the dad,
that transaction's the mom. Over.
What if it was the mom? How about that? That'd be better.
If she yelled,
"You douche! Get over here, little jerk!
You little douchebags!
The fuck over here!"
Yeah,
Jerry, you're a douche. Did you say Jerry?
A child, Jerry.
Oh yeah, the small Jerry. My mom,
like actual little Jerry.
I remember my mom. My mom used to curse like a sailor. And we were at the shore one time, and I wouldn't let go of the Vivitar camera. I was like, it's my camera. And I swear to God, this was at the shore. I must have been like 9 or 10 as well. My mom, like, just because you have a dick doesn't mean you run the world. Give me the fucking camera.
That's what she said.
I was like, whoa.
When you were how old?
I was like 9 or 10.
Jesus. My mom hardly had a dick.
And my mom, yeah, I don't think my balls dropped yet or something like that. And my mom was no joke. Yeah. Good woman.
Hey, though. Jerry, I need a big favor from you.
Tell me.
Just on the spot here, can you turn off that fucking light in front of me here?
Holy shit, we have a bright ass light. I told you, I don't want
this light.
If you caught the intro, I yelled, I have to go. Before we started, I was like, I have to take a piss.
Yeah, Jerry, come on.
And then you were like, okay, fuck you, Jerry. And then the grunge started.
Yeah.
And then I said, listen closely, go back to the beginning. I go, Joseph, I said I had to piss.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Real quick, just turn off that light right there. There's a little knob on the underside of it. Jerry's turning off our... Oh, you know, I keep forgetting to replace the... No. That's good. Darkness. Jerry and I are now in the fucking dark.
Enveloped.
We're enveloped in the darkness.
Oh, yeah. It would be nice. You turn off all the lights. Maybe we'll do that for the next mushroom episode.
Oh, yeah.
You turn off all the lights and only have the roadcaster going.
Or maybe turn off all the lights and just have a laser. The laser might be cool. Or the atmosphere, whatever this projector shit I have. I got some cool little options, but yeah. Yeah, I'm really due for a good mushroom trip, honestly.
Yeah, we'll
I've been thinking about it. I was thinking about doing it in Florida.
You should.
But I don't know. It's a shame. Guys, just for the record, I'm recording this just hours before I go to sleep and then wake up very early to go to Florida.
What time in the morning do you have to get up?
Like 5-something.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah.
You'll be all right.
And, yeah, I am excited to go to Florida, which is to say I'm excited to be anywhere that isn't here.
Yeah,
That's really what I mean.
For some reason, it was so beautiful today, and it was still fucking cold.
So fucking cold.
We went out for a bike ride, and I was like, we didn't put gloves on.
Oh, yeah, I'm not doing that.
So dumb. And it was like, me and my kids' hands were just frozen.
Yeah.
Did a lot of things today. But, yeah.
What'd you do today?
Today, I painted. I fucking went on a bike ride, did putt-putt, did the arcade. We got a 900 really? Ticket alien now. It's my height blow-up alien in my house.
What are you going to do with that thing?
I'm gonna live out a lot of fantasies I haven't had before.
We're going to have to talk about that alien on sexwithjerry.com.
Yeah, let's do.
Hey now. Yeah. Guys, by the way.
No, don't.
Okay, sorry.
You shoehorned that in. You should be a car salesman.
Yeah.
I pop my tires all the time. Have you thought about tire and wheel protection? Just so quick to jump on it.
So you said you were painting. What were you painting today?
Today, one of my friends said, I'd like one of these. A good guy, you know. I was like, hey, you know what? I'm making one. I'll make you something. You know, so I'm doing the whole like stencil thing with the spray paints, and it's everything just looks so cool because spray paint like fades. It goes dark and it fades. And I did his face and a 985 Camaro. And it looks fucking awesome. Like, it's some real, like, 80s type shit. I'm like, this is just the now, medium
you,
I prefer.
When you go to forward. Paint a little picture, you often paint a picture.
I love my picture.
It's a thing you do.
Mm-hmm.
When you first get the mood strikes you that mm-hmm. day, do you normally plan ahead when you'll paint, or it just sort of, you find
no,
the opportunity?
No, there'll be a thing that will just hit me, and I okay. do it. Like I'll pace for a minute. Like, oh, that's
now,
good.
Now, generally,
that's good.
When you're going to go, you know, you got, oh, I got an idea. I'm going to paint this thing. Mm-hmm. And you go set up to do it. When you go into it, is it like, what are the parts of that that you like or get something out of? Are you at all exercising or practicing or developing any technical skill? Or is it just a fun or funny sort of outlet? Or what is it?
It was started off as like a lampooning coffee house art.
Okay,
because you look at a coffee shop painting, and I'm sure all of us, a lot of us have been to coffee shops. You look at, oh, that's a cool picture. I might go in my bathroom, and you look at the price, and it's like $779, and it's like, what the fuck, dude? And I was like, oh, I can do that. I can do this. If they're gonna charge like $200 for that, I can at least make $1.50, $1.50.
Yeah,
you know, and I started making fun of it, just doing it. Like, I would go to a coffee shop, I would sketch what they need, what I saw, thought it was, then I would copy it. And then I would pawn it off to people, you know?
Yeah.
So, but then it like, as I got into it, I was like, this is, I feel better. Like, there's something coming out of me onto this now, you know? When Kobe Bryant died, I did my best painting. Like, I did a tribute of Kobe Bryant.
Was it a painting of Kobe?
It was close enough, but it was my best work, but it wasn't Kobe Bryant because I can't draw it. I was like, oh, I can't do this. But then I started manipulating it.
Do you feel that you have any technical skill? Like,
I think I'm okay, but I'm not good. It's going to get better as I practice.
Yeah.
You know,
do you want it to get better?
I do. I did the whole stencil thing. I fucking love. Like, I love
you're
cutting,
into that right
I
now.
Love cutting my own. I love drawing it, then cutting it out. And then putting it, and right now I'm having a hard go with like how to keep it on the canvas, you know, because you can hold it, but then you got different techniques to move it around. I can't imagine.
You're doing it on canvas.
Yeah, I'm doing it on canvas. Okay. And I'm like, oh man, it's different because if you tape it, then it's just so technical, but it's so rewarding when it's done. And is it ever really done? It's one of those things like we talk about it with this podcast, like you want to achieve or in all of your endeavors, a level of perfection. You want to put a good product out. Where I was, and in this case, I'm always like, I think perfection's in the imperfections because I'm just not capable.
You know? Yeah, well, I mean, I believe that. Like when you say a thing, the perfection is in the imperfections. Like that's kind of a cliche, but yeah, I really believe that for sure. But when we're talking about doing our podcast, you know, I do a couple another podcast, and me and Jerry do the other podcast, you know. What I mean is that I just want it to be presentable. I want like the website to be okay and be functional when people look at it. Although I got to admit, the Grunge Podcast website is a little out of date. Like, I got to update it. Oh, let's talk about that.
Yes, please.
Guys, here you go. Here's some news. We're going to do a little bit of a rebranding of the Grunge. I think our final decision, at least our current decision, is that it's just going to be still called the Grunge. We're not changing the name. We're going to just revamp the visual presentation. We're going to just, you know, give a little new coat of paint to the whole thing. And we're going to just officially put the stamp on our vibe of like, we're going to do what we want.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I don't know who all will hear this, but on our Patreon account there in the page, I posted a poll for the members to vote on. And the options were about the show format going forward. And it was just two options. It was basically the grunge. Grunge is pretty important and we want to like stick to that and focus primarily on that and do that thing. Or any great album from any fucking genre, from any era, does not fucking matter as long as it's cool as
this
fuck.
This really opens up a lot.
It was unanimous.
Yeah.
It was unanimous. Everyone voted for any great album from any old time. There it is.
I think I'm excited as hell.
So now, to be clear, we are not, I don't know. I'm cool. Like, we're still going to keep, at least I think so for now, mm-hmm. we're still going to keep a bit of our timeline moving forward.
I think that's
important. That's helpful. But whenever we fucking feel like it, we're going to just throw something else in the mix. We'll keep moving along through 96, 97, 98, 99, and so on. But we're going to also do whatever the fuck we want, whenever the fuck we want. If we want to listen to an Aerosmith album tomorrow, we're going to, and that's okay.
Or Raekwon. Whatever. That's so cool. But,
yeah.
You know, I thought about it. I didn't think about losing the timeline. That would be sad to lose the timeline a little bit. Like, that's sort of our running thing is that we have to listen to some.
Yeah. Well, and it gives us a good excuse for a Nightbird. Mm-hmm. But we can also do a Nightbird from, and look at all the years we've skipped from the beginning of time to 1992 or whatever. Yeah. You know, we have to cover every year from the beginning of time up through 1992. So now we have to backtrack.
Fucking all the way back to medieval times and Michael Bublé.
Yeah, we're going
to
do it.
Michael Bublé will be on the Nightbird.
He's going to be on a Nightbird, yes. All right, now, Jerry, why don't you settle down for a minute?
Okay.
All right?
Go ahead.
Let me read to you a bit. I've got information for you.
I love information.
Now, I'm going to say words. You know what? But I should prepare. Everybody fucking get ready. Not only Jerry for what I'm about to say. Because what I'm about to say is fairly serious shit.
Okay.
All right? Black Sabbath are an English rock band formed in Birmingham in 1968 by guitarist Tony Iommi, drummer Bill Ward, bassist Geezer Butler, and vocalist Ozzy Osbourne. Black Sabbath is the debut studio album by the English rock band Black Sabbath. It was released on 13 February 1970 in the United Kingdom. The album is widely regarded as the first album in the heavy metal genre. I disagree, but okay. Additionally, the opening track, the self-titled Black Sabbath, has been referred to as the first doom metal song. I've got but one or two more small facts. The album was recorded in a single day on the 16th of October, 1969. The session lasted 12 hours.
What?
That's all I've got. They took a day to record that album, mm-hmm. and they took a day to mix the album, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
Just wildly gesturing to me? Just
before we start the album,
yeah,
I had to handle something.
What do you need to handle?
I need to handle my urinary tract.
You're serious?
Dude, we did the podcast, and then I said, let me go out.
Go, Jerry.
You start the album. Go,
Jerry. This is the worst.
I told you before we started. I was like, Joseph, no. Oh. We're going to get this Black Sabbath out. Let's do it.
Jerry just ruined the whole show.
I'm ready.
Jerry's back now. We can continue the show.
Did you sit in silence the whole
yes,
time?
Yes, I did, Jerry.
It'd be so cool if you left that in.
Yeah, I'm going to. Okay. Okay, Jerry.
All right, I'm ready.
So I've introduced the idea of this little band of four guys, mm-hmm. Black Sabbath. Now, what did I say? It was the first album in the heavy metal genre. I don't know how I feel about that statement. How does that land on you?
I don't know, man. I mean,
Black Sabbath, we already know where I'm coming from, a place where I fucking love Black Sabbath. Let's get that out of the way.
But metal? I don't know. This first album wasn't, was this a metal album? I mean,
well, at the time, it certainly wasn't called that, but.
Yeah, but I can't, the first metal band, though. Who would you say? I mean.
Well, I don't know, but to me. And I understand why that statement exists. I get it. I mean, we trace it back to Black Sabbath. But just like you and I evolved from a common ancestor, I wouldn't call that common ancestor the first human. I mean, that would be ridiculous. Of course it wasn't.
Right.
It evolved into something else. And the common ancestor that so many of these, you know, genres spawned from is Black Sabbath. But to call it, this album itself a heavy metal album, that's ridiculous. This is very clearly a blues rock album. The band Black Sabbath, just previous to being Black Sabbath, was a blues band called Earth. That's their deal. That was their deal. And there's no doubt. You hear this. There's no shock here. I mean, this, you'll hear these guys just playing a blues lick after a blues lick.
You know, the metal thing with them. I think what makes this all so metal is Black Sabbath is a metal name. Like, if we're talking about, like, that's metal.
Yeah.
That name.
Well, they brought a very, look, well, they brought a unique flavor to this.
I'm talking about just the name. It's metal. Yeah. It's intimidating. It's got the word black in it. You know what I mean? It's just everything every metal band is chasing is that name.
Yeah.
You put Sabbath after anything, it sort of sounds cool. Sabbath is a fun word to say.
It's a great word.
It's a really good word.
Yeah. But of course, my experience with the word is all colored by Black Sabbath.
That's right.
Like, if Black Sabbath had never existed, Sabbath might be an okay word. I don't know.
It's rest easy.
But now you can't. I mean, if I hear a word that almost kind of sounds like Sabbath, I'm thinking of Black Sabbath.
Right.
You told me about a refrigerator once. I lost my mind.
We went to Best Buy. Yeah. And this refrigerator has a Sabbath mode.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I heard that. I goddamn nearly died. It was so cool.
it really limits you.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to not do anything in that day. It's the day the Lord rested.
Yeah.
You know?
This album came out, and it's got the cover with the creepy woman in the front with the old, like, sort of, I don't know, rustic, a farmhouse or some kind of building in the background. It looks creepy as fuck for no good reason. It's creepy.
It's fucking metal, man.
Maybe and then you open up that album, you know, the original release. You open up the gatefold, and what are you greeted with? A giant inverted cross.
Yeah.
A big inverted cross in the fucking gatefold.
Now, we've done a couple albums. This wasn't their idea.
It was not their idea. Yeah. This was a record label thing. And it's my understanding that the boys weren't thrilled about it.
No.
They saw it. They were like, what the fuck? We didn't say to do that. What are you doing?
As liberties. That's back when record companies ruled you. They owned you.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
They could do whatever the fuck they wanted.
Yeah. And, but yeah, they did a real unique thing. And I'm not going to take this time to rehash the age old tales of the beginning of Black Sabbath because, you know, most people that care have heard them. This album is over 50 years old now. This album is like 51 or so years old now. So, you know, the stories are out there. We know, you know, quickly, Tony Iommi was about to leave his job where he worked at a sheet metal factory. Mm. And it was one of his last day or so. And one of his coworkers was out. And so they said, all right, Tony, you go get on that machine today. And he's like, oh, what the fuck? I don't even really do that machine. I don't know. And they're like, yeah, it's your last day. John's out, whatever. Go just handle it. So he does. And what's he do? He chops off the tips of two of his fingers.
Jesus.
Fucking the blade comes down, wham, pulls his hand back, minus two fingertips. So needless to say, he was distraught. And he had to go about, well, at first he just kind of put the guitar down. He was like, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
He was like, it hurts. I can't play right. This sucks.
OSHA.
I'm done.
This is before OSHA. I keep on saying before, but think about the money this man would make now. Last day, they chop his hand off. There's so much money to be made.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't sue.
He didn't. I don't think so.
They didn't know how to do that back then. There was no such thing as litigation.
And so, you know, somebody came along. He had a pal that came along and told him a tale of this other guy who had chopped his fingers off. And look what he's doing. Okay.
Jerry Garcia?
And he,
he was missing a finger.
And he crafted himself some basic fake fingertips, some little like leather and whatever. He made them himself. Made some fingertips and he got to playing. Down-tuned that guitar a little bit. Made it sound like it sounds. And Black Sabbath was born. And so the title track of the debut Black Sabbath album, song called Black Sabbath.
That's it right there. You know, that's what happened. The record company execs are sitting around a table listening to it. Hey, Clive, what the fuck? What do we do with this? It sounds like devil rock. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. We'll put an inverted cross on it. We'll market them. And that's what's happened here. And they didn't do themselves any favors with this shit.
Oh, they did.
They did themselves every favor with this shit.
Yeah, this is the first song.
Yeah, this is how it opens.
This is a first impression for this band. Back people listen to this.
Recorded in a day. Turn this shit up.
Can you think of anything heavier than this of that era?
It's not... heavy's so subjective, heavy but at this time, you know, you got Led Zeppelin doing their, everybody's doing the flowers in the hair hippie shit. And this came out and just scared the shit out of people. Like, what the fuck? Like this? Listen to this. And then, you know, imagine it trampling through everybody's fucking
for the first
day
time.
In the park with the flowers and a joint.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got our first single from Black Sabbath.
What is this that stands before me? Figure in black, which points at me.
It's not doing a lot extra, and that's why I appreciate that. Like, that's it.
And, you know, I could have this wrong, but I think this was the first song they wrote and that made them go like, oh, wait, this is a different thing.
Yeah.
Like this is a whole different thing that we're doing now.
Right. When he gets, please, God, help me, I can't wait for that. I love that part.
Ozzy's voice on this album, it never sounded quite like it does on this album ever again.
It's haunting. This song... is on every greatest hits they have.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's the self-titled song. It's just, I mean, I'm looking at this track listing, and it's fucking, it's solid, man.
That's another weird thing. The track listing on this album is very weird.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of different versions of it. You can grab eight copies of this album, and it's different.
I'm saying, like 2004 reissue, but I mean, there's like...
Well, just even weird, like different tracks were combined...
There's one that's bought Black Sabbath three times, an outtake, a B-side,
some of them. Well, no, I just mean like the actual album itself without bonus shit. Like some versions had Evil Woman on it, some don't.
The European edition. What are we listening to today?
This is the real album, the way it's supposed to be.
Okay, good.
The legit version.
The drums,
yeah.
Almost. This almost begs of bongos, you know. They held back.
You love some bongos.
Oh. Bongos and a clap track.
Watch those flames get higher and higher.
Now this song was these lyrics. It's haunting,
that.
Right?
I did a Facebook story one time of me like, I'm going into work, and it was just that, and everyone was like, "Yeah, you bro," you know. Oh no, please God help me.
I think this song, the lyrics were inspired by a dream that Geezer Butler had, the whole figure standing at the bed, the whole deal, and he wrote about it. Geezer pretty much wrote all the lyrics during Ozzy's era.
He knew what he was capable of, too, then.
Yeah.
A little bassier than usual.
Yeah.
Like, he did lose that over the years.
Ozzy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, pronouns. Yeah. My apologies. Also, you understand Dawson.
Yeah.
Later, he became unintelligible. You know, I mean, this is just a single track. He relies.
This was a young man here.
Ozzy relies heavily on double tracking. I mean, what is that called? The vocals? Dual vocals? I don't know. This is just him singing.
Well, and I mean, Ozzy has a wild voice all through these early days for that first 10 years, you know, like, you know, when we get into, like, you know, what would it be? The fifth and sixth Sabbath album. Those are like Ozzy's best vocals. Honestly, I think album number 5 and 6 are Ozzy's best vocals of his life.
They rapid fired these albums too. They're 1 through 3 is what, in the same year?
The first two were in 1970. Yeah. This one came out in 70.
I mean, he meant Summer of Love. Yeah. The Vietnam era, all this.
Yeah,
is
recorded this in, let's say, October 69.
Ooh.
Yeah.
People are getting killed. This is good.
Oh, yeah.
This should be part of that revolution. That was, you don't hear about them as far as the Summer of Love type thing.
Yeah, they ruined it.
They killed it in October. I love this song.
The Wizard.
The Wizard. How much fun is this?
Harmonica. Little Ozzy on the harmonica.
Mm. The harmonica is deceptively difficult.
Yeah?
I thought it'd be easy. Like, I just move it around. You know, nope. It is hard.
Worked up pretty good.
You got to put your tongue in certain holes and shit. Okay. I don't, no.
Sexwithjerry.com.
Harmonica lingus. When I was a kid, when I first heard this album, I was into wrestling.
Yes.
And what they do very well is wrestling songs. Like the intros.
I'm about to eat an Almond Joy.
You get the Almond Joy. What they do, like, wrestling intros. Every one of these could have been a wrestling intro. Like, that could have been a guy. That harmonica kicking in would have been, like, Andre the Giant walking out or something like that. You'd believe this guy was a badass. And the guitars just saw through you.
Turn.
Yeah.
Love it.
And the bass. Everyone is working in unison in this album. Also, I have somewhat of a connection to this too. My father would play this all the time.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Love Black Sabbath and Ozzy. Like I told you,
he was a big Sabbath guy.
Yeah, big Ozzy guy. He scared me because he would have the Bark at the Moon album out. Yes. That album cover,
that's a crazy one.
Scares the shit out of me. Scream Break. I love that song. Come to think of it, like, I didn't think much of Ozzy or Black Sabbath, but I'm going to remember a lot of this. It's going to be tied to a lot of my 90s and 80s memories, you know. So you can keep that part of the grunge through Black Sabbath.
Yeah, I mean, Black Sabbath is... I've probably mentioned Sabbath once or twice on the podcast.
I'd say it's been 600 times. In fact, a lot of our bonus episodes end in a Sabbath song.
Right.
If your album's good, it won't.
Yes, true. Behold my attention. We don't need that. But yeah, man, so many of my earliest musical memories and earliest life memories involve Black Sabbath.
Oh.
It's just whatever it was, man. It hit my brain as a little kid, and it grabbed hold, and it has never let go.
It won't.
There's never been a significant time in my life when I wasn't into Sabbath. You know, I won't listen to them as often during a certain period or another one, but they're always there.
They will always be there.
Yeah. I mean,
one of our victims, by the way, of the Sabbath, wrote me.
Oh, yeah.
John Mesh.
Oh, yeah, young John Mesh. What did he have to say?
Joseph Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
I think he wants to do that to everybody. Don't worry about it. You know?
It's nothing personal.
He does it to everybody. I mean, I should have said, like, in real life, he does this.
Yeah.
His phone will turn on and turn
will.
His phone all the
I
way
will.
Up. Doesn't want to hear from someone.
I was hanging out with friends the other night.
Did you Black Sabbath somebody?
I literally, and this is not rare. This is a common occurrence. I brought with me, I just knew I'm going to hang out, you know, I'm going to hang out tonight. I brought with me my fucking Bluetooth speaker and a shitload of Black Sabbath.
Mm.
And let me tell you, Black Sabbath was played quite a bit.
I love that you brought your own speaker
just in case.
If anyone else had something, you're like, listen to this.
I'm going to shut them down.
I have this JBL Flip 5.
Yeah.
It's this tube of noise. I have it at my desk. And the great thing about a cubicle is that the great thing about the speaker is that you can turn it so other people
have to hear it.
Have to hear it, and it's just so good. That's why I've been listening to jazz all week. I'm a better person because of it. Love this little speaker. Every once in a while, I'll throw Big L in.
Yeah, my love for music, and I've realized that Black Sabbath is probably my favorite band in the world.
This was supposed to be a Black Sabbath podcast.
Yeah,
that's true. It wouldn't have had me in there.
That's true.
Sure.
Before I started the grunge, I was going to do a Black Sabbath podcast, and then some other dude stole my whole podcast that I was going to do. Literally stole everything.
That was in the works before.
Yeah.
Before his podcast came out.
Yep.
What is it called?
I'm not telling you.
I'd like to hear it.
No. Fuck that guy.
All right.
This is Wasp / Behind the Wall of Sleep. Oh.
Listen to that hip-hop beat. Turn my headphones up.
I love this jam. I love listening to Ozzy on this song. Holy fuck.
It's not a bad album, bad song. You know what is nice about it? Is that they knew to put the right shit on it. They don't go too much. I say it all the time. If you don't need 13 songs, man, you don't need 13 fucking songs.
Yeah, this is a very short album. The whole thing is 39 minutes.
Yeah, but how many goddamn albums do we get where the guy's like, we need 15 songs on that bitch? No, you don't. You needed 7 or 9. If I do this for a full calendar year, am I a legit music critic?
Yes.
Press pass. Open this fucker up. Safely, by the way. Not yet. But when you do, let me get a press pass. I can see why you like the bass.
Geezer Butler was already a bad motherfucker at this point.
I can't think, and again, I don't want to keep hijacking this episode, but I can't think about how unfair it was to Iommi. On his last day of work, they put him on a machine,
on a new machine
that cut through sheet metal,
yeah.
Untrained.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Late 60s, man, they didn't give a fuck.
Nah, man, he should have been rich ever before he started this band. Yeah. I would have sued my ass off. There was a woman who lost a leg when I worked at the steel mill.
No shit.
And it was, I heard it. It threw my earphones. And when I hear like accidents like that, it always freaks me the fuck out because it was a gory mess when I left. I had to throw the sawdust on the ground and shit like that. I was like, dude, fingertips freaked me out. My mom cut the top of my pinky,
Yeah, she cut it off?
She didn't cut it off, but she was clipping my nails and took the top part of skin to the... You can play pool to this.
Yeah.
The baddest motherfucker in the room just walked in. Walked in the room. Jesus. I'm fucking high. Sorry, let me collect my thoughts.
Jesus, Jerry. Jerry's out of control.
Yeah, I got like real blazing. I like the song. I like the album. I'm like, ah, this is so much fun. This is a fun podcast right now.
It's a shame you always have to have weed to just live a life.
Oh, stop it. The only reason I have to have weed is to do this shit.
Best shit you do.
Best podcast ever made.
Basically / NIB.
Mm-hmm. A bass solo. See, people make fun of bass solos, but they shouldn't.
Geezer Butler will fuck you up. This bad motherfucker. And you notice he's not doing anything. He's not showing off like technical skills.
No.
He's not flashy. He's not like ripping all over the fucking bass. He's just being a bad motherfucker
right now
with four strings.
Oh yeah.
NIB.
that Nativity in Black.
It's funny you say that, Jerry. Common misconception that the song is Nativity in Black. Let's listen to Ozzy for a second here. I'll tell you. Yeah, so in the 90s, probably, what was it, around 94, 95, a Black Sabbath tribute album came out featuring a lot of popular bands of the day. Typo Negative was on it, White Zombie was on it, a lot of cool shit. Pantera's cover of
Planet Caravan,
Planet Caravan was recorded for that album, but ended up not being on it due to, like, record contract bullshit. So that's why it was on Far Beyond Driven. But the song NIB is not Nativity in Black. People just sort of made that up because it sounds cool. What it was nib. The word nib, meaning the nib of a pen. The little nib of a pen?
Yeah.
Which is what they called Bill Ward. They would call him Nib or Nibby because he had this pointy goatee that they would tease him and say he looks like a nib. We call this Nibby. He's Nib. And that was the song.
Oh, well, great.
Senseless.
It's senseless. Means nothing.
But Nativity in Black is cool as fuck.
Very cool name.
How famous is that? Oh, yeah. Like, that's like, doing it for you years. Know?
God. So much. I don't think this. We not make fun of Ozzy or say things about Ozzy. Like, he's not. He is charismatic.
Oh, God.
And that comes through.
Yeah.
With a lot of charisma, said with confidence.
They've already referenced the devil like 5 times.
Yeah, so maybe the
throughout
record,
this album.
Maybe the record execs are like on a... they're okay for doing what they did.
Yeah. But these guys are fucking evil.
And this is a 69, the height of... Not the height, but the beginning of psychedelic expression and stuff like that. You know, all the bright colors and...
Yeah, was in full swing.
Mushrooms and acid and... Owsley acid, all that shit. Oh. Be cool if these guys made it to Woodstock.
Yeah,
go to trip people out.
Send a bunch of hippies a running. Something about it, isn't there? And you know, it's also so cool the way you see this is a band, really, where we see this wild growth and evolution of the band through those first bunch of albums. That first 5 or 6 Sabbath albums are such a, you know, by the time they get to Sabbath Bloody Sabbath, it is not even the same as this at all. Like, you know, this is the caveman fucking embryo version of what they would become.
And how accomplished it already sounds.
Yeah, this is so great, but it's so raw. I mean, it's just this, it's this cool blues band who's like doing this neat twist on it, and but I'm a raw as fuck.
I'm a fan of that raw sound. Oh, yeah. As it gets more, I'm one of those people, as it gets more produced, I might fall off a tad. But like not but not through the first four or five, because it's a banger every time.
Yeah, and they just develop so much, even this to Paranoid. It's like like real different, you know?
I don't know. I hate that Sleek sound. They don't have, they never really had it to me.
Wicked World.
Isn't that? So hi-hat. I swear to God, I've heard this in anti-drug ads. You know, like,
doubt that.
Some, you know.
Not endorsed by them.
Stay on the straight and narrow.
Which would have been hilarious.
The military, when my dad was in the military, they go to Europe. They had a military channel, and the ads were fucking crazy. Like, they were like a lot of propaganda, but a lot of excitement. But if you turn on German television, you'll see a nude woman running through the forest, and it'll have a bar soap. It'll be they're so free with their bodies in Europe.
Gotta love
sexuality's
that.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Ooh, man. Iommi is the original fucking Riffmaster General. Jeez. He was already a Riffmaster General.
You've been drafted. You get your card. You're going over. You're some dude with a boombox playing Black Sabbath in the middle of Vietnam. You're ready to go out.
I could die. I could die listening to this shit, Jerry. It's so good.
And a lot of people did.
Like, I'm like freaking out internally right now.
There is something about Tony Iommi's fucking riffs, man. They just touch me in a way that no one ever has. Oh, and Ozzy's voice is badass right here.
Sounds more like a traditional lead singer.
Yeah.
I keep on forgetting that they're British.
Yeah.
And that sound, that mod sound that later came into effect and all that shit, they just didn't do that, you know?
Yeah. You always say, like, this was the sound of Birmingham. You know, it was just these factories.
Yeah.
And these just, it was very industrial and dark, and the weather sucked, and it was fucking,
there was
black smoke coming out of every fucking building.
There was no EPA.
Yeah, man.
Things were just
It looked and felt like this, probably. You know?
Music does have a setting. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine looking up and all you see is fire through a plume.
Yeah,
and then
dude, 1970 Birmingham, England.
I got to look at it. I got to see a picture. Let me find a picture.
In the winter. late autumn. Fuck you.
England is considered pretty dreary as a whole anyway. Yeah. You know? I want to see just one snapshot from Birmingham, England. I'm not even
1970.
1970. Just one picture. What's their picture?
Oh, shit. Listen to I Am A Go.
Oh, there you go. It's just people on the street. That's all you got. People protesting an airport being killed. There's nothing fun about this shit.
And listen to Geezer's fucking bass. Oh my god, I'm gonna die.
These guys got on double decker bus. That's one thing London has. And I want more of them here in the States. Double decker buses. UK. Sorry, the UK. London, England. Geezer, what the fuck's wrong? England.
They're so fucking groovy. It is insane.
You know, this is you ever see that kaleidoscope filter they put over those 60s cameras and people dancing and that I want. that sounds like this belongs, you know? God, you know, the kaleidoscope is an extremely versatile child's toy. That thing's been going strong for decades.
Are kids still into that?
My kid loves it.
Or do they just have an app for it now?
Oh. Jesus, I hope.
I'm sure they do.
Man, that really depressed me, you said.
I'm sure that's a thing.
The Viewmaster. And the
Oh, yes. A bit of finger going into Sleeping Village. They have these little separated titles. You know, when I say it, it might sound weird, but that's the track, the way it's broken down. A bit of finger / Sleeping Village. A bit of finger is just this weird little intro.
Oh, with the mouth harp?
Yeah.
Red sun rising in the sky.
Oh,
what a soul. What a soul in his voice.
This might be my favorite jam on the album.
South breeze blowing in the trees. Peace of mind.
Listen to that, dude. What a fucking mood that is.
Whew. The mouth harp confounds me. Where did they find one?
It was the most common instrument there.
In Birmingham? Yeah. Pick up your mouth harp off the ground, son.
Riff, dude. And listen, you can hear the little... I love the way you hear that little slide at the end of the riff. You hear it, like, most of the times. That always killed me about that riff, the way he pulls that little slide right at the tail of it.
There we go. That's perfect.
What you got there, Jerry?
Just looks like Upper Darby. That's somewhat the city of Philadelphia, but not considered the city of Philadelphia, because it's not. It's right before it. You got to get in and out of there. I live 1 mile from it. I don't know, man. I always thought Paranoid was my favorite album, but this is up there.
Yeah, you think this could be?
Well, it has the Wizard.
Tops.
I like Sweet Leaf.
Listen, a little geezer there.
This... I think it's all downhill from here.
Stop that. I mean, we're going to do damn near every Black Sabbath album.
We're going to do some other things in between.
Oh,
right?
No, yeah, not okay. Consecutively. We're just going to do them. We're going to throw them in.
The first 7-hour podcast.
We'll sprinkle them in.
We do them all at once.
We'll probably have a double episode coming up. I mean, fuck, we could have done this album and Paranoid. I won't tonight, but we could have, because, you know, this album's short as fuck, and they both came out in 70.
Yeah, but I think this should be given its special time. Also, it's the introduction to what you're trying to do here.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh! Mm. I love when somebody revisits something like that. You ever hear a song and it breaks down in the middle and it never goes back to the beginning?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that beginning part was so good. More of a traditional song structure on this album. Is this the next one we're going into?
Not yet. There you go. Warning. The final track.
I remember vividly loving the bass on this one. Fuzz. Yeah, the bass takes over in Morning. This is what this song's all about.
This is a sprawling jam right here.
I know. Yeah, they definitely deserve the inverted cross in between in their liner notes.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I was pissed that it happened, but if you really listen to it, you didn't really give anyone any fucking choice.
This song is actually a cover. This is a cover song.
Of what?
Yeah, they did. This is just some, you know, I don't know, some old tune. You never said you love
me, and I don't believe you can. Lead Belly.
You see. In a dream and you were with another man.
Got I know I bring up Curtis Mayfield a lot when I hear funky bass, and this is these guys are contemporaries, you know?
Oh, you know, Jerry, I won't do it because it would be ridiculous to play at the end of this album, but there's a new song that you might like to hear. A new song. I'm gonna play it for you after all this is done. You might like it. I think you'll like it. Sincerely.
This was... Jesus Christ, this is a huge ad. We're on Wikipedia. God damn. Originally released by the Ainsley Dunbar Retaliation in 1967.
There you go.
It's the baddest ass fucking name for a band I've ever heard in my life.
Say it again.
The Ainsley Dunbar Retaliation.
That's pretty hot.
That's really good.
Just fucking settled in on this one. They're just like, let's jam, motherfucker. Go. Just go.
Fish does the same thing. No one hates that.
Take it away, Nibby.
Now the whole wide world's moving, cause there's iron in my heart. I just can't keep from trying, cause you say we've got to part. Sorrow grips my voice as I stand here all alone.
What is it about his fucking voice, man? That is wild.
It is wild. Well, if you're new to Black Sabbath in this time, this is fascinating.
Yeah.
If you're used to like 2000s, like the Osbournes, Ozzy, go to this,
oh sure,
you're like, holy shit, this is why.
Yeah, it's a shame that TV show could
he was who he
colored
is.
People's like you know experience with him. You know, it's a shame in that sense.
You see, but a lot of the mystique was taken away.
Sure.
This guy's snorting ants with Motley Crue on an airplane, you know. Then you put him there, fucking shaking and shit.
Yeah.
His wife telling him everywhere to go and what to do, and he's wearing sunglasses inside, which
but
I think
man,
only
he had a,
assholes
he had
do.
A special fucking sound back in the day. I mean, look, he's always been very unique. I'm not going to shit on him. He's done a ton of great stuff in his solo career as well, honestly, that I'm very into. Not the hugest, you know, solo era Ozzy fan. But there's a lot of it I do like. There's a couple whole records that I'm real into. Like, no doubt. No Rest for the Wicked. Fucking love that album. One of the first things I got in trouble for singing as a little kid in kindergarten and first grade was You Can't Kill Rock and Roll from Ozzy Osbourne. I'd be singing that shit. And my teacher would tell my mom. And my mom secretly was fucking pumped that I would do such a thing. She's like, yeah, he's a bad motherfucker. Look at him go.
Yeah, look at that.
Singing
proud of you.
Fucking kindergarten and shit. Come on, guys. Come on, little Jer. Let's do more weed.
I'm all right.
Fuck you, Jerry.
You. God damn it, Joseph.
You will have the weed.
Care for
sissy
right
mother effer.
Well, look at this. I'm being shamed.
That's right.
You're being canceled, Joseph.
Little sissy.
You're going to be canceled.
Don't cancel me, guys. Please. I got mouths to feed, okay? Also, can you guys... I need a couple favors from everybody. I need you to do a few things. First, write us some email. Okay? Write us email. I don't care. Just write it. Do about something. I need you to leave us a review on iTunes. Or Apple Podcast, whatever
what
the fuck it is.
Did something else happen to us?
No, we should need more reviews. We got to get reviews. So please, just take a moment, go onto your podcast platform of choice, particularly Apple Podcasts, and leave us a positive review.
A 5-star review.
If you're going to fuck around with anything less than 5 stars, just don't even bother because I'll cut you.
Well, at least we'll put your name on the internet. Is this Patreon? Yeah, this is Patreon. We're doing this too. Oh, he won't do any of that.
No, I will. So please do that stuff. Write us email and give us a good rating on Apple,
please. 5-star review. I hear a lot of podcasts doing that. Like they all say at the end.
Well,
like,
it helps. I think, who knows, but it can't hurt.
No,
it helps with discovery, whatever. Yeah. We want people to hear our stupid podcast because I need a Tesla.
And I can't keep on doing this for free.
Share it on your Facebook. You know, tell your friends about it or whatever. You Jerry, you little no-weed sissy. Better smoke that weed.
Whoa. All right, I'm going to give it back to you.
Jerry, I love you. Smoke my weed. Stop.
Stop it. Don't get me upset, man. Tony Iommi's just freaking out right now.
Now he's jerking off.
Hang on, guys. I'm about to freak out.
Oh. Things like this bother me.
I mean, I don't need it, but I allow it from him.
I am good. Thank you.
This is actually, shit.
Yeah, this is good.
They're just changing up the vibe however they want. They're just like, you know what? Hang on. I'm going to just do this.
This is blues.
All right. So, no, I don't think it was a heavy metal album. But, like, I get it. The seed is there. Like, they're obviously bringing in a different kind of darkness into some shit and making it real awesome and fun.
I would like to know who brought up the devil more other than blues guys. The blues guys fucking sell
yeah,
soul. The blues is all, has a lot of Satan in that shit.
Hellhound on my trail, boy.
Yeah, the devil's here, man. Hey, Robert Johnson still to this day gets that selling his soul type stuff.
Just got done watching. Funny you mention it. Just got done watching Crossroads.
Yeah.
You know, Crossroads with Steve Vai and Ralph Macchio and Joe Seneca, the story, you know, a retelling of Robert Johnson's selling of his soul to the devil himself. Just got done watching that for last month's movie night with Satanic Delco.
Mm.
We have a monthly movie night we do with the Satan Gang.
How does that work? Do you guys have to time it, or you watch the movie in?
No,
the,
yeah,
in
we
the app?
I put it on Zoom. I share the screen. And yeah, we just watch the movie together. We put on headphones. You hear it right in there. You got it. You never watch a movie with headphones, you know?
No.
But it's awesome when you do. And yeah, we watch the movie, and we mostly don't chat too much, but we chime in when we want to, you know?
I went recently. You went to the a private showing of The Thing.
Oh yeah.
And that movie is intense.
Haven't seen it in
screen.
A while.
It's gory as shit. And you hear all the little sounds, but the only movie I ever watched with headphones, because it was my first DVD I ever bought, and my computer had a DVD player, was The Silence of the Lambs.
Really?
So that shit was in full surround in my head the whole time. And I still love that movie because
that's
of
a great movie.
Oh, really good movie. Yeah.
Oh shit, here we go. They're about to do it.
Yeah, they've been in the middle of the first song the whole time.
Yeah, same song, guys. This is a warning.
This is a warning. It's 10 minutes and 6 seconds long.
Yeah. They were just jamming, man. They're a stoned-ass blues band in 1969.
I don't hate that. You know how I feel about people, like, at the end of the album, they always want to throw a 14-minute-long opus. I don't hate this one, man. I'm good with this. And in the right
And
right
I love,
line,
like, this is
worked.
How different the times are. This is their debut album. This is a band's debut album.
First impression, man.
Yeah, is this.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
They were like, we have Geezer Butler, so fuck you. All right. It's Black Sabbath, guys.
Yes.
The debut album, Black Sabbath.
I
featuring the song Black Sabbath.
And warning. Never forget about warning, because it's coming.
It's coming.
That's a long warning.
I love the end of that song, though. When they finally get to that, oh my God, you're so hungry for the riff.
Yeah.
They've been noodling around, and it's neat and everything.
Just tinkering, enjoying life.
And then they're just like, hey, don't forget, motherfucker.
No, Wizards on this, NIB. Black Sabbath, I mean, actually, every song on this is
Wicked
is
World.
Seven very good songs. Can't take one out to make it better. It's a perfect. I'm going to say this once.
Okay.
39 minutes, 7 great songs.
That's the way an album should be, right?
You should, what you want. You should put the best of the best. Yeah. It doesn't matter how long it is. Yeah. And then you just do it, and it's fucking great. And this thing all the way through, as far as time, as far
you
as...
You like an album to be a greatest hits album.
A greatest hits album. And this one is.
Yeah.
So for this, I give this, for everything it's good at, an A+.
Look at this, all of it at once.
Every song works.
Yeah.
The economy time, they think about me. What? How much time I have to listen to excellence.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, it's obviously an A for me. I can't even, what's the point of me grading this? I mean, it's so much a part of me. There's no chance. I've got an unreasonable fucking love for it and an attachment.
This is a template. It's a template. It's how it was set up. And it's not printed the same every time. But one thing you patrons should know is that if you want to make sure I'm on your side, 39 minutes, 7 great songs, and I will fucking, we won't be Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
Because this is what happens.
Yeah.
This is a great album. I love it.
It is a great album. I love the artwork. It's a classic. And as much as I love it, and goddamn do I love it, believe me, really, I damn near cried during this again.
Mm. Mm.
It's definitely not my favorite Black Sabbath album.
I'm sure it's definitely not. I'm sure this isn't either.
Like, I can't even tell you what it is. I don't even know what it is. Like, I love this album. It could be Paranoid. So many people's favorite album is Paranoid.
As we go to the tour through this journey, we're going to
find out. But I fucking love Sabotage. Mm-hmm. I fucking love Sabotage. Don't get me started about Heaven and Hell.
We already listened to Dehumanizer, right?
Yes, Dehumanizer.
So we're not listening to that again.
We will. We'll do it again. But that's way down the road. That's like, 10 albums from now.
But guys, 7 songs, 39 minutes. Boom! You got me on your side. And this album does it for me.
Yeah, I hope some of you guys dug this. I don't know if everybody's familiar with this album. And, I would even say this album, while it's obviously like such a big part of the Black Sabbath lore, those first couple albums are huge for many people, it's not even really representative of what Black Sabbath became.
I agree.
Like I said, it really was the earliest form. Mm-hmm. This was the infancy of them finding their chemistry together.
But this is a great handshake. Hello, how are you?
Yeah.
I'm Black Sabbath, and it works on every level.
They crank up the fucking doom on Paranoid.
I'm looking forward to it.
Like, you take Paranoid for granted, right? Iron Man, you heard it a million times. Paranoid, you heard it a million times. Little fast, upbeat, mm-hmm. little happy song, whatever.
That's not my favorite song. I don't like Paranoid.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even, I've heard it so much. It's like, it hardly registers. But that album is a bad motherfucker.
I look forward to it.
Oh my gosh. I always look forward to it. Mm. Thanks guys for hanging out. I hope you all dig this album. And please, if you don't, just never tell anyone that you feel that way.
Funny, every time if I trash Black Sabbath, Jerry, not now.
Yeah.
There's no time for that. It never happens.
All right. Thanks, guys. Love you. Don't be a square.
Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.